Ain't that the truth? All right, let's pray, and then let's go to the Word and see what God has to say to all of us today. I think I can hear the choir back there, so turn down those mics for me. There you go. If you're joining us in Louisville or Prosper, thanks so much for being here as well. Thanks for hanging out. Let's pray, then let's jump up, read the Word, and get into it. Father, we're humbled because we are blown away on your goodness and favor toward us. Will you please deposit in each one of us, customize what you want us to hear today for our own hearts so that we can align with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Will you stand with me? Let's read Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is where we're going to hang out today. Let's see if we can get to it and read the word of the Lord together. Everybody reading, no matter what campus you're at, the Lou, as they call themselves, come on. Everybody read together. By when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. And they were not afraid of the king. Now, watch this. Parents, watch the impact you have in your kids. Remember now, parents were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses is going to get that trait from their parents, all right? Just because they modeled for him what it looked like, and then he's going to pick it up. You're going to see it here in a moment. Next verse. It says, by faith, Moses, my. I want you to circle the word in your Bibles. If you do, put a number one beside it, the word refused. Moses refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh. In other words, he refused to align himself with the palace and with the trappings of Pharaoh. Next verse, verse 25. Here's what it says. Choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Key word here is the word choosing. He made a daily decision to endure ill treatment. That little stuff you deal with at your job, ill treatment. He chose to endure it with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures. Verse number 26, here we go. It says, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Key word here is considering. He was considering the reproach of Christ greater than the riches. Last verse, here we go. Last verse, it says, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for the endured as seeing him who is unseen. I want you to notice, he did not fear. He not fearing. Where did he get this from? His parents was not fearful. So he was not fearful of what man could do because he endured as seeing him who is, say this word with me, unseen. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. Last week, we dealt with the topic, and we've been in a whole series called Overwhelmed, if you're new to us. And we've been dealing with, this is the fourth week, we have one more week left in this series. We've been dealing with, really, the big topic is being overwhelmed, when you're tired, when you're overwhelmed and you start to speak to yourself. The issue of mental health that plagues our culture is one where people talk to themselves and say things about themselves. And what ultimately happens is what matters is not what other people say about you, it's what you say about you. What matters is not what other people say about you, it's what you say about you. And when somebody does something stupid, it's usually because they have been saying something to themselves for such a long time. They believe the lie about themselves, and then they try to express express that outwardly. So far we've been going around the hope circle, and here's what the hope circle looks like. We've suggested so far that one of the ones they say is, I don't matter. You have a purpose is the answer, but people say to themselves, I don't matter. Secondly, we say, some people say, Pastor Eric dealt with this, I don't fit in. Thirdly, people say, I dealt with this last week, I want to give up. And then lastly, I feel useless. Then next week we're going to deal with people who come to the conclusion that they hate themselves. This week, we're zooming in to I feel useless. Say that with me. I feel useless. One more time. I feel, that's the topic I want to address on today. Last week, we also suggested that there is a way in which God has asked us all to live. And if you don't live the way he's asked you to live, then you're going to pursue evil without even knowing it. Live, L-I-V-E, evil, spelled opposite. When you turn the word upside down, it's spelled E-V-I-L. The way God's called us to live is, he says, I want you to start with your master. Then I want you to identify what I've called you to do and fulfill your mission. After which, I want you to make sure you're managing your moods before, single people, you get your mate. This is the right order in which God says, this is the way I want you to do. When he created Adam, he says, amen, I want you to make sure I am your master. Then I want you to make sure that you get my vision and my mission for you. I want you to manage your moods and learn how to do that before you meet your mate. Instead, what's happened is we've allowed the enemy to trip us up. So now we live based on our moods. What we have a tendency to do is to respond based on how we feel and our preferences, which is then we say we get consumed with who our mate is or should be. Then we figure out whether or not we have a mission, and that usually is related to money. So it's not God's mission, it's your mission for yourself. And then we consider God by showing up in church every other Sunday and thinking that we're throwing Jesus a bone because he's lucky we're in church with him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the complete opposite of what God has desired for us to do. Yet still, many people live their lives this way. The danger of this, if you're here and you're married, here's what he wants you to do. He wants you to make Jesus the center of your life. Then he wants you to discern as a couple what God's mission is, why he brought you together, and what's the mission that he wants you to fulfill. Then he wants you to make sure you're managing your moods so that you're honoring your mate and you're fulfilling the mission that he's calling you to do. When you mess it up, you respond based on your moods, and then your mate, you respond to her as well, or him as well, based on your moods. Then you figure out, maybe let me see how I can make some money, and then you throw Jesus a bone. It is the complete opposite thing that God's asking you to do that so many people actually does. Ladies and gentlemen, here's all I'm telling you. If you do not prioritize God's priority, then you're going to end up, without knowing it, pursuing evil. Without knowing it, you're just going to be doing it. Here's why. Because you're going to do exactly what the enemy has called you to do. So now today I want to zoom in on the one called, I feel useless. 80% of depressed people feels dislike for themselves. If you're depressed, there's somehow you've gotten to the conclusion that you feel dislike. You don't like yourself. So I feel useless sounds like this. I feel inferior. I feel worthless. I feel lousy. I feel empty. I feel alone. I feel disconnected. It feels like I am drowning. The four D's of depression are: you feel defeated, you feel defective, you feel deserted, you feel deprived. And that's how people live. Yeah, the older you get, sometimes if you're not careful, the older you get, you feel as if nobody wants to use you anymore. They just want to ship you off to somewhere so you don't bother anybody else. No, my Bible tells you the older you are, the more you should be older woman, disciple the younger woman. But if you're not careful, this younger generation want to put you out to farm. And so if you're not careful, you're going to start feeling useless. And that's the time when people come to this church and they say, well, it's too young. It's too young. I'm like, are you kidding me? The older you are, the more you should be excited that young people are coming to church so you can get to disciple them. And the older woman, disciple the younger woman. Older men, disciple the younger men. So you can tell them the mistakes you made and help them navigate it so they don't make the same mistakes as you. Are you kidding me? Yeah, well, it's too young. What you want to go do? Go hang out with all old people and play bingo? Is that what God's called you to do? Are you kidding me right now? He's called you to make a difference in this next generation. We need some older people who will pour into this generation and say, knucklehead, don't do that. You'd be foolish if you do that. You want to go hang out with some other old people to play bingo? Are you kidding me? I come from the wrong family. Because my dad, touching 80 now, and he'd be like, listen, son, if you give me one of them counties, I'll come help you. Take a county for Jesus. I'd be like, calm down, Dad, calm down. It might kill you now, calm down. He says, what a way to go. I want to go fighting. We got some people that I don't want to go by staying on a beach somewhere. Are you kidding me? A beach somewhere? Wait till you get to heaven for all that. The devil want to take folk out and you trying to help them populate heaven. Come on now. If you're 60 and older, you ought to say amen. They in the first service. The rest of them in the first service. They come early. They come early. They come early. They ain't fooling with y'all. They ain't fooling with the crowds. They come early. They come first service chilling. All right, go to your sermon notes. Come on, let's talk about it real quick. I got to go. Let's talk about it real quick. Go to your sermon notes. Ladies and gentlemen, God wants a family and he created you to be a part of it. God wants a family and he created you to be a part of it. In light of that, he says, if you're going to be a part of it, here's what I want you to do. First of all, I want you to realize that I have a great purpose for you. It's customized, it's fitted to you. I've got a great purpose for you. And then I want you to hang out with some great people in this thing called, I call the church, which is the body of Christ, of which Christ is the head. And then he says, when you do both of those, I want you now to take advantage of the opportunities, the great opportunities I'm going to provide you. The problem is, if you don't know your purpose, you're not going to be walking in it. And then if you don't know and be around great people that are connected to the body of Christ, then you'll miss out on opportunities. Whenever I teach pastors of all the churches, we have about 45 of them now that we are in network with, that we share resources and all that. But anyways, whenever I teach them, I say, hey, listen. Amazon is killing it. Let me explain something to you, pastors. You're not going to have a problem finding buildings in the future. Your job is, do you have enough money to buy them? Because let me tell you what's going to happen. Everybody is going to go more and more online. And so you're going to have more and more of these big old buildings that the world paid for that we're going to be able to get at a much cheaper price. Here we go. If you're ready for the opportunity. But many people, and most people, they don't get ready for the opportunity. But here's why. Because they only live for right now. So everything they get, they spend. Which means when God tees up an opportunity, you can't even afford the opportunity. So therefore, you miss out on the blessing because you live for today and not for tomorrow. I'm trying to help you now. I'm telling you, the opportunities are there. God's teeing them up. But you have to have been wise and had to have been a good steward to take advantage of the opportunities that he has for you. You've got a purpose, and you better know what that is and walk in it. Then he needs you to be around great people that will support that purpose and that you'll support theirs. Then he'll tee up some opportunities for we to take advantage of it. But you have a great life if you are around great people. You're fulfilling God's purpose, and when he gives you opportunities, you can take advantage of them. If you don't know your purpose and you're not living it out, then ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, you're missing out on the best life for you. If you're not around great people, then I'm just telling you, you're missing out on what God has for you. Go to the next street, the next one right below you. It says body life. Let me show you how he wants the body to work. He says, when God created everything, he spoke it into being. Let us create man, spoken into being. No, let us create light, spoken into being. Let us create water, spoken into being. Everything he created, spoken into being. When it came to man, he had to touch him. The only thing he touched. Everything else, he opened his mouth and it happened. When it came to man, he had to touch him. And he has to have been touching man ever since then. Listen, so here's how it goes. He forms man. First word, he says, I'm going to form you. And I'm the creator. I've got a family. I want you to be a part of my family. Then he says, sin showed up. So then he had to send Jesus. Jesus says, when I leave, I'm going to send somebody that fills you. Says, I'm going to fill you because I'm creating a body. I want you to be a part of a body. The challenge I have is, you ever go to the circus or to the fair or something, and you see, watch this now, you see one of these little caricatures and the head's cut out, and you go take a picture with it, and you put your head above it, and it's like the Incredible Hulk, and your head, and here's what you say, that head don't fit that body. I wonder today if Jesus showed up as our head to one community church. I wonder if people would say that head don't fit that body. I wonder if when you look at the way you live in your life, there is a disconnection between your head, Jesus, and the body and the lifestyle you live in right now. I wonder if Jesus would say, no, bro, let me move my head out of that. That's a hot mess. I wonder if the decisions that you're making right now, the one you're about to make, whether or not that would be in concert with what your head, Jesus, would do. Because if it's not Houston, we have a problem. See, he calls this thing called the church a body. And he says, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that every person is important in the body. Let's pick it up. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, run about verse 20, where will we start? 14, pull it up. Let's see where we are. Yeah, here's what he says. He says, for the body is not one member, but many. Listen, don't miss this. The body, let me change it to contemporize it. The body is not one pastor. It's not one pastor that constitutes the church. That's why if all you do is come in to hear a pastor, and when the pastor ain't here, you man. That's why no matter who comes up here, you just need to know you're going to get word from that day. Because we're not a one. If the enemy will take me out, he shouldn't take the church out with it. I ain't going nowhere. But if he does. Here we go. Let's go. Next verse. Here we go. Here's what he says. Watch this. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any the less a part of the body. Here's what he's saying. He's saying, the foot can't say, hey, man, I really wanted to be the hand. So since I'm not the hand, here we go. Here's the phrase, I'm useless. Since I'm lusting after what somebody else wants, so and I can't be that, then okay, you're not feeling me. Here's how it feels. That's like the hand saying, listen, I don't want to be you no more. I want to be the eye. And if I ain't the eye, I ain't fooling with y'all. I'm leaving. By the way, y'all do that all the time. Talking about, I'm gonna hang out over here. That's where I'm created to hang out. But this is some of you right now. Quit tripping. This is some of you right now. You talking about, well, I don't know if I like membership, church. I don't like all that. I just want to do my own thing. I want to have my own relationship with Jesus. Jesus said, I call you to be a part of a body. Not some isolated person that gets to figure out truth when they want to figure it out and aside from the body. He says, look at you. This don't make no sense. You look like a chopped off hand. Something crazy done happened right here. That's what he said. He said, you, and not only do you look crazy, because of your selfishness, now people in the world saying, uh-oh, something wrong with y'all. What's wrong? Something missing over here. What's wrong? What happened to your hand? Well, somebody wanted to do their own thing, so they left. Now, you couldn't do this in Jamaica. I love giving you my Jamaica illustration. You can do this in Jamaica. You know why? Because in Jamaica, if you leave one church to go to another, the pastor going to ask you a question. Where is your letter of commendation? If you're new school, you don't even know what that is. You'd be like, well, a letter? You just send an email? No, a letter. It need to be in black and white with a church logo on top. and you need to send that, and it need to be signed by your pastor. And he need to say, we bless you with this member, and then here you go, who has been in good standing for 54 years. Here? Oh, no. Listen, I want what I want and I want now. I don't like that joker no more. Let me go see if I like this joker. And if I don't like him, I'm going somewhere else. If I don't like her, I'm going somewhere else. I don't like them deacons, I'm leaving. I don't like them people, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. Hey. What church you coming from? Don't worry about it. What? What's wrong with y'all? Yeah, no. And then if you didn't come with a letter, no problem. I know the pastor down the street number. Hey, Sister Shirley showed up. No, if he's ever silent, that's bad news. Because he's trying to formulate how he can say this foolishness the best way possible. No, listen, you got too many hands. Right now, sitting in a chair today, sitting out in the atrium today, you got too many hands doing your own thing. And you're not attached to the body that God's called you to be attached to. You need to say to yourself, self, I need to go be attached to the body that he has called me to be attached to. Ladies, this is huge, ladies and gentlemen, because some of you are sitting there right now, leave me alone. That's the last person, the last church hurt me. I can't believe they hurt me so much. So I ain't being attached to nobody. I don't care about nobody. I'm going to do Jesus by myself. You can't even say that as a Christian. I'm going to do Jesus by myself. That means you don't want to be a Christian. Because there is no such thing as an isolated Christian. There just ain't. See, you got a place. You got a role. We can't be who God's called us to be unless you find yourself where God wants you to be. Let me see if I can do some surgery and put this back on. Let me see. Hold on. Look at God. And that's right where you're supposed to be. Can I get a witness, somebody? That's where you're supposed to be. Right there. Go back to your notes now. So he says, I want to form you. I created you by forming you. Then I want to fill you. And then he says, I want you now to function as one body. But before you can function as a body, you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So he says, I want you to be filled with the Spirit so you can produce the fruit of the Spirit. And when you produce the fruit of the Spirit, that's when you can function as a body. Listen, this is important. Now, the reason it's important that you get filled is because when somebody ticks you off in the body, and they will, if you're walking in the Spirit, then you can produce love when you don't want to love somebody. You can produce patience when you need to be patient. You can produce self-control when you want to cuss somebody out. But you got too many people that want to be attached to the body that don't want to be filled with the Spirit. Which is why you walk in the flesh. This is what it looks like. I'm going to need some help today. This is what it looks like right here. Let me switch microphones on you. Hold on, I'm going to switch microphones. We switched it yet? Can we switch? One, two. Not yet. I want this one now. No? Oh, hold on. It's my fault. How about that? One, two. There we go. It's my fault. My bad. All right. Thanks for telling me to turn it on. My bad. All right. So let me get some guests now. Come on up here. One. I want you. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I want you. Come on up here. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on, come on, come on, come on, too. I need, don't look at me like that. You're like, don't invite me, don't invite me. I don't want to come. There you go, one, two, stay right there. Don't, where you going? Stay right here. Stay right there. I need somebody, oh, thank you, darling. Come on up here. I see you with your fancy jeans. Come on up here with your fancy jeans. Them jeans cost $98. Come on up here, come on. You all right? Is that right? You sure? You're not going to be nervous on me, right? All right, cool. Hold that one right there. Now, let me show you how body life works. You ready for this? The pastor is not the only person who has received the Spirit of the living God.
if you know Jesus, everybody possesses the Spirit of the living God. So you don't need the pastor to do everything, and quit putting the pastor on no pedestal. He a man who fails and a woman who fails, just like you. So therefore, you need not put him up there and say, oh my God, here's the pastor. Calm down. And I'll tell you to calm down. I say, hey, come back here. Where you at? Calm down. I'm just a dude, man. I go to the party just like you. Settle down. All right. So anyways. So watch this now. This is body life. So he gives everybody the Holy Spirit and a light. Turn your lights on. And when you have the Spirit of God, then the light come on. If you don't know Jesus, ain't no light. Because ain't no Holy Ghost. You don't know Jesus, no light. No, interlock hands. So then you say, this is supposed to be the body of Christ. Put this over there. Right. This is supposed to be. Come on a little closer. Y'all like each other. Come on. Yeah, there you go. See that? That's what it's supposed to be. This is what it's supposed to look like, where everybody knows that they're filled with the Spirit of God. They're interlocking. So now the enemy, they're waging a war against the enemy. Turn the lights down. So now here's what's supposed to happen. They're supposed to be the light in a dark world. That's what you're supposed to be. However, every now and again, one of you be like, I'm finna quench the Spirit of God. So you're like, come on, I'm gonna do what I want to do. I want what I want, and I want it now, and I don't care what God says. I'm gonna do what I want to do. Now, when this happens in the church, what's supposed to happen is that the body supposed to heal itself. So the body, come on around. The body's supposed to say, no, you can't, it ain't no light. You got to help him. Turn the bulb. It ain't no candle. There you go. And the body supposed to help each other. Help when one is down, the body's supposed to help the other one get back up. So when somebody comes to your small group and is talking about, well, you know what, man, I'm just a human being. I'm going to sin too. I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing. And they be like, I'm going to quench the Spirit of God. I ain't going to do what the Spirit of God tell me to do. Let me do. See, that's a good illustration right there. You're trying to turn the light off, and they're like, oh, no, you don't control me. I'm going to shine my light bright, even when you trying to make me dull. Praise God, somebody. Get an illustration wherever you can. Okay, you love Jesus too much. I can't manage you. There you go. He don't love Jesus that much. See that right there? He don't love Jesus. Watch this. You got him. See that right there? He got him. Watch this now. So when one of them says, well, you know what? I'm going to go do my own thing, and I'm going to walk away from the body because y'all cray-cray, and y'all are hypocrites, and y'all don't really love Jesus, and I'm going to do Jesus by myself, and he is detached. Listen. There are some blessings that you will not receive because you're not connected. I'm just helping you out. So you can be out there all by yourself. I'm going to take my hand, do my own thing. But there's some blessings you're not going to receive because you're isolated. And by the way, now the enemy can get you better than he ever could because he loves believers in isolation. So now, every now and again, conviction come and a little bit of light start flickering. See that? It start flickering. The Spirit of God said, come on, you got to go back. And you be like, no, I ain't going back. I don't need them people. And it start flickering. And the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention, but you ain't trying to give him your attention. So here's what the body is supposed to do. This body life right now. You don't know church so really supposed to do? Church supposed to say, whoa. Or light is not as bright as it could be because somebody is missing. So now the body, come with me, body, stay connected. The body's supposed to come with me, and the body's supposed to say, somebody is missing. And the body's supposed to now, come on, take your time. The body is now, no. Leave, you ain't trying to go back. You'd have gone back yourself. No, I'm trying to take them. The body's supposed to say, we love you too much. We're going to do whatever it takes to get your light to start shining again so you can be reconnected where you were not connected so we can be who God is calling us to be. Ladies and gentlemen, this is so huge. This is so huge. The reason you're feeling useless is because you're not connected to the body that you're supposed to be connected to. The Creator created you for a purpose. So if you're a hand, he created you to be a hand in a larger body that you're supposed to be connected to. So therefore, your job is to make sure you're connected. Now, watch this one last thing. Now, the church can never get to its full redemptive potential if you're not shining your light bright. We can't accomplish what he's asking us to do if you are not using the gifts and abilities and the talents he's given you to pull off what he's asking you to do. So you can't come to church, listen, because some of you just like to be around people of light. You don't like to shine your light. You just like to be around them. So you dip into church and then you dip out. You do it twice a month and that's good enough for you because you got to dip in and then dip out. You just want to be around. You don't want the Spirit of God to be in you. You just want to be around it. And that's where some of you are right now. And God said, hey, I want to wage war against the kingdom of darkness. But the only way I can do it is if you come fired up, ready to go to wage war against the kingdom of darkness. Come on, help me thank these volunteers right here. Great job, y'all. Great job, body. I see what you're doing. I see you. Okay, so what I want to know today is this. Here's my question for you today. Here's the question.
Whose light's not shining? And it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to stop being detached. And it's time for you to come home. It's time for you to stop using all the excuses you've always been using about why you don't need this and you don't want nobody else hurt you and you're so in pain, you don't want nobody else. And it's time for you to stop using all of that. You're here today and you're in the atrium and you're complaining. Y'all, I don't like this one, I don't like. They don't even have no seat for me in there. We got 3 other service times. And then if you want to be a part of the body, you got to join. And while I'm not a big fan, let's make sure everybody join. But here's what I need you to know. You're not attached. And you were created to be attached. So your assignment is you got to respond to that. And not use excuses as to why you don't need to anymore. So here's what I'm going to do now. So here's what he says. He says, number one, I want you to start because I formed you, then I filled you, then now I need you to function as a body. Everybody has a gift. I want you to use your gift so that the load gets lighter for everybody else because you're using Easter, y'all. Easter was incredible because every last one of you wanted to serve, but you just want to do it once a year. That's enough. I've got a busy Collin Denton County life. I don't need anything else. Listen, you were created by God to be connected. You were given a gift by God to be you. Your gift is not for you. It's for somebody else. You don't ever have a gift to bless yourself. You have a gift to bless other people. So the fact that he gave you a gift means it wasn't for you. And by the way, don't tell me, I'm going to bless somebody somewhere else out here. I don't have to do it in the church. Hey, whoa. He is the head of the body. Jesus is the head of the body. He did not say the gates of hell will not prevail against a nonprofit. He says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's where he is the head. And that's where you and I form a part of the body. Can I get a witness, somebody? Here we go. Turn your page over. Let me show you how he looks. The 1 Corinthians chapter 12 passage looks like this. Then I'm gonna shift it a little bit. Here's how it looks. It says you start with a church family, and then you have the manifestation of the Spirit on every person, and then you have the common good. Because we are linked together, because the Spirit of God is in each one of us, together we can do great good for this society. Here's what happens though. Flip it and show you what happens. When the common good can't get done, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, when you feel useless. But I want to do the eyes job. I want to do the legs job. Or on the other side, when you feel self-sufficiency, I don't need you. Either one is wrong. This is how the church gets destroyed. By people saying, I don't need the church. Or by people saying, you don't need me, so I feel useless. Now, the body can't manifest the common good to the people and to the culture. All because we come to conclusions that are unbiblical. I don't need you. You hurt me so much, I don't need you. Or it seems like you don't need me. By the way, that's also a call to leaders. And leaders need to realize, hey, dude, you got to create environments for everybody to use their gifts. And you got to set them up on a path where they can use those gifts. If you don't, I'm telling you. You see, many of us come to church. And really, church is only a means to an end. For many of us, God is a means. No, you're not going to say it. You're not going to pronounce it. But listen, don't miss this. God is only but a means to an end. Here's what that means. That means there's something else that you have an agreement with God, but you don't say it out loud. But it's an unspoken agreement that God, look at here. Hey, God. Listen, God. Listen. I'm gonna do this, but you better do this. In other words, the end is something that you want God to do for you. God, the Bible says, is the end. But many of us, if the truth be told, not many of us, all of us, there is something that really is the end, and you're just really playing a game with God for him. Okay, you're not feeling me. For some of you, it's, hey, God, just make sure my health's good. You don't say that loud. But you just know, God, listen, I'm going to church every Sunday. I'm paying my tithe. I'm doing my part. So you better make sure ain't no cancer in my body. You don't have to announce it, but you do it all the time. There's an agreement you got with God. I've been doing this, so you better do your part. Some of you, okay, God, I've been tithing, and I'm doing good. Don't let me lose this job. This is a good job, God. Don't let me lose this job. So I'm doing my part. You better do. That means you're using God as a means to an end. Every one of us do. Okay, let me not talk about you. Let me talk about me. I have to take this to God every day. See, because the one thing that has my heart that I got to give to God every day is my son. My daughter Jada can raise her, but I need to raise this knucklehead. So I have a little agreement with God. You can't take me just yet. I need to get him straight first. I need to wear him out so he know what to do. I'm telling you my drama, okay? You have your own drama. Think about your own. Anyways, so I said, I have this, I never articulate it, but I know it. So I said, okay, God, I'm trying to do my part. Because I ain't ready to die yet. I ain't ready to die because I need to take care. I need to raise this boy. And if he trips, I need to spank the daylight out of him. But he going to grow up honoring adults in front of him. No. It's not a good thing. So I have to take that to God every day because it's an unspoken rule that I got. He owes me to raise him good so he can't take me away now. You got one too. So talk to your neighbor, application time, and tell them what yours is. But no, for real, right now. Louisville, right now, tell your neighbor what's the agreement. It's unwritten, unspoken, but God, okay, but I love this one too much. Don't let nothing happen over here, because if it happens over here, me and you going to have words. Come on, I'm for real. Talk to your neighbor. Hey, here's what mine is. It's my job. Here's what mine is. It's my husband. Here's what mine is. In the atrium. Come on, atrium. Talk to each other. Come on, Louisville. Talk to each other. Here, you got 15 more seconds. Come on, real quick. Tell them what it is. Confess your sins one to another. Come on. Here we go. All right. And if somebody beside you said, I don't have any issues, raise your hand. Let me come talk to them right now. In the name of Jesus. Rebuke that out of them. So here we go. The body can't get to what the body is supposed to do because you really see something else as more important than God. Now, go to the last page. 4 life-changing choices you have to make. 4 life-changing choices you have to make every day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you, you got kids, grandkids, God kids, any kids, nephews, nieces, you need to teach them how to make these 4 choices every day. You should have been making them since you were about 8 years old. Some of y'all still ain't making them, but I'm going to teach you what you should do first and then what you need to be telling and teaching the next generation. Choice number 1, all from Hebrews chapter 11. Choice number 1, refuse to be defined by others. Refuse to be defined by others. Oprah Winfrey, right after she graduated from the university, Tennessee State University, three people in the broadcast area said to her, you're not going to make it. You don't have what it takes to make it, Oprah. You just don't have what it takes. I'm just telling you, find something else to do because you don't have what it takes. Can you imagine if she had listened to them? We wouldn't have the O magazine. We wouldn't have the Oprah Winfrey. We wouldn't have her being the philanthropist she is today. Listen to me. I want you to watch what Moses did. I want you to watch it. Here we go, verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be called, to be defined as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here's what that means. I'm giving up the palace lifestyle. I'm giving up living large and in charge. I'm giving up potentially to be the next Pharaoh. I don't want to be defined by that, because God has an identity for me that he wants me to live out, and I will not even let the riches and the status of this world trip me up from doing what God's called me to do. That's what he says. The other day I had, this about 2 years ago now, I have one custom-made shirt. I have one. Somebody in our church said, hey, Pastor, I want to do you a favor. And then when I saw the bill, I said, that ain't no favor. So I don't need no more. I don't need no more. I got one. I wear it on Easter, and I wear it on special occasion. I only have one. Okay. All right. Anyways, the rest of them are off the rack. So I go to JCPenney, I go to Macy, off the rack. This one is from JCP. All right. So I like off the rack. Listen. Too many people have off the rack purpose. Purposes that you just, that's look good. Let me go do that. That look good. Let me go do that. God has a customized one for you. And you must not let the world give you its purposes and let its purposes try to fit you instead of getting the one that God has customized for you. It has your name on it. It's the one he wants you to do. Do not let other people, your mama, your sister, your brother, your boss, anybody else, define what God wants you to do. You got to go to God for that. Every single day, refuse to be defined by somebody else. You got to be defined by God, and you get that from the Word of God. Number two, choose short-term pain for long-term gain. Every single day, I'm telling you. Listen, if you're going to have to live with these, so the earlier you learn them, the better. Choose short-term pain for long-term gain. You are going to pay one day. You're either going to pay now or you're going to pay later, but you are going to pay. My wife, for 1 month every year, despises me. That's not a strong word. She doesn't. She doesn't like me. 1 month every year. And that's because we come up with a goal. Our goal is that she's going to write one book a year. So I'm the driven one. She's the one that makes people laugh, but I'm the driven one. So I show up and I say, hey, all right, it's June. We're going to get this done so I can go off to the publishers. Here we go. So I get on her and, you know, hey, man, while other people's companions are sleeping, we're toiling through the night. You don't get this by having a party. You get it by putting the work in. So come on. It's a short-term pain for a long-term gain. And she'd be looking at me twisted sometimes like, I ain't sleeping with you today. She'd be telling me all kinds of stuff in that particular month. You probably, that's too much information for some of you. But we fighting all the time in this particular month. If she in the back right now, crack it up. Anyways, so, because she knows it, this part, she does not like, because we got to stay up till 3 in the morning after some crying kid get up. I said, hey, if you want the long-term gain, you got to put in the short-term pain. Now, as soon as the month is on, and she sees an email from somebody in Bangladesh that's reading her book and says, oh, my God, you changed my life. Oh, my God. Then she looks at me and say, you know what? You're a good husband. I'll be like, uh-uh. You ought to tell me that in the middle of the pain. In the middle of the pain, you ought to tell me that. In the middle of the pain, when you're looking at me crazy, you're cutting your eye at me, you're saying, I can't stand you. I don't like you. I wasn't doing all that. That's when you tell. But here's what, let me tell you the main point. You will have short-term pain. You can have long-term pain if you don't do the short-term pain. But if you want the long-term gain, say it with me, you have to put in the short-term. Hey. Teach them young kids that. Because they want long-term gain without any short-term pain. They need to learn that. And by the way, you know where they learn it from? You. And you know how they learn it from you? They see you going through the short-term pain for the long-term gain. Can I get a witness, somebody? Number three. Pursue God's values, not the world's values. Pursue God's values, not the world's values. Pursue God's values, not the world's values. Let me show you what the world's going to value every single time. If you're in Atrium, listen up to this. If you're in Louisville, listen up. Here's what the world, every ad on TV you see, every ad on Sirius FM or whatever you listen to, every ad on the radio, every ad. Popularity, fame, pleasure, possessions. That's their world. That's the best they have to offer. That's it. That's all they got. They're selling you. You can be famous tomorrow. They're selling you. Hey, don't you want to feel good about yourself? Don't you want to pamper yourself? Don't you want to take care of yourself? Don't you want to look good? Don't you want, and then possession. Don't you want more stuff? Come on. Look at what they have. Compare yourself. You can do better. Show them that you can do it better. Your grass can be greener. Your car can be shinier. Your wife can be cuter. That's all they got to offer. That's it. And all of this is short term. You'd be like, you give me enough money, it ain't short term. You're going to die. You are going to die. I know you think you're not, but you are. Here's what God says. Instead of your popularity, I want you to do my purpose. Instead of your pleasure, I want you to prioritize people over pleasure. Instead of your possession, I want you to prioritize peace, the peace that passes all understanding, over your... He's not against any of these as long as you do it God's way. But he says, don't make this your focus. Make this your focus. And then other things that you like, he will add them unto you. I was talking to somebody the other day on the phone. I'm saying, hey, man, what's up? And we talking. And then the phone clicks over and I say, hold on, man. And then I click over and it's him again. I'm like, what's wrong with you? He says, well, I was on my cell phone and I only had 1%. So I needed a landline that was grounded. Because then the power never goes out. You see, when you go to the world's plan, the power is going to drain out. The prestige is going to drain out. The possession, it's all going to drain out because it's not meant to last forever and to satisfy forever. But when you go to God's goal, it's grounded. And because it's grounded, it's going to last forever. He makes it simple for us. He tells us, you got to be grounded. Ladies and gentlemen, last one. You got to choose to live by faith and not by sight. Say it with me. You got to choose to live by what?
Faith.
And not by what?
Sight.
One more time. You got to choose to live by
faith.
And not by
sight.
Watch what Mo does in verse 27. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Where did he get that from? His mama. For he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Listen. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to live by faith. Too many of us live by sight. I was in St. Croix, Virgin Islands. No joke, 2 weeks ago. Went down to do a baby dedication. And I was in there. And they did the dedication. And then they had a catamaran that they did the party part. Like, food and all the kind of stuff they did. And so we're on this catamaran. This is an absolute true story. We're on a catamaran. And we're out there. And we get out there. And when we get out there, I can't see the land. And the rain starts coming down. But there's no regular rain. You know when the rain starts going sideways? One of them. It's now a storm. Now the sail that was up is now. And I ain't never been in one of them before. So in my mind, everybody getting wet, all the party stuff that was out, all soaked, dry, you know, everything just soaking wet. The storm's going. In my mind, I'm like, why this captain ain't heading back to shore? That was my question. Let me get a little closer. So I went outside and said, hey, Captain, where we going? Because I saw the headlines. Dallas pastor dies in St. Croix. I saw the headlines and I'm like, looky here, bro. I ain't dying in them oceans out here, all right? I can die on an island, but it's going to be Jamaica. It ain't going to be no St. Croix, all right? So I said, hey, where we going? Where we going? He's talking about he got this. Joker, Jesus, I know. You, I don't know. I don't know if you know what you're doing, but it helped me out. Listen. It's helped me out. It taught me a lesson. When you know who your captain is, if you don't know who the captain is, you start to worry. You start to fret. You start to wonder if you're going to make it. But when you know who your captain is, and when you have had experience with your captain who delivers you from storm after storm after storm, when the storm shows up the next time, I can live by faith because I'm going to trust my captain to take me to where he wants me to go. The problem is, I don't know who your captain is, which is why you worried and living by fear and not by sight. God says, I need you to live by faith and trust me that I'm going to take you to the destination I have in store for you. Ladies and gentlemen, four things he wants you to do. Every single day, you need to make these decisions. Every single day, you need to make all four decisions. Read them with me. Number one, refuse to be defined by others. Number two, choose short term for long term. Number three, you ought to choose every day God's values, not the. And number four, you ought to choose to live by and not by. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every person in this place today. Will you help us all, every one of us, to consciously make a decision to do these four choices every single day so that nobody in this house ever feels useless. Nobody in this house ever feels like giving up because they're on mission for the glory of God. Protect each one. Allow this talk to resonate in our hearts as we talk about what is it? What is it? How have we drifted? How can we get back? What is it that might stand in the way? What is it that we have an agreement with God that, God, you're just a means to an end. You're not the end. Let's expose it, confess it, and then live in the light of the truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. Come on, put your hands together, everybody. Come on. Nobody moving yet. Listen, nobody moving yet. Hold on. If you're here today and you want somebody to pray with you, if you're here today and you want somebody to connect with, you want to be in a life group, you want to start serving, you want to make a decision about membership, whatever it is, as everybody else is going out, you just come on up. We would consider it an honor. It's the reason we do what we do. For you to come up and be and talk to one of these individuals about it. Number two, if you're here and you're female, I'm just telling you, just try it one time. If you ever come to Women's Bible Study one time, you won't never miss another one. I promise you, you won't. One of the things you're trying to process, by the way, just so you know, you're trying to process, how do you do Women's Bible Study for people who are out of town so that the people in town and we're processing, should we do it online for everybody to see? Just pray for us as we seek wisdom in that. And then men, the conference is coming up. I need you to be a part of that. Please go online and register for that conference as well. You're going to be let out in sections. When your section is illuminated, then I want you to get up and go. And the reason we do it is so we can have a slow trickle and not just a mass exit from here. And then lastly, when you're sitting in your seat, God sovereignly placed somebody beside you. Get to know who the heck they are. Because God is not a God of random order. There's a reason they're there. Get connected. Thanks so much for being here. God bless you. You're dismissed in sections when your section's illuminated.